I heard from the two of the
I morning.
Amen.
By the virtue of your blood.
Amen.
Lord, we come to you with an open heart.
Amen.
Like we receive your speaking this morning.
Amen.
Lord, we love you.
Amen.
Lord, we love you.
Amen.
Thank you this morning we can be gathered into your name.
Amen.
Thank you we can touch you in our spirit.
Amen.
We can have fellowship with you and fellowship with one another.
Amen.
We ask you to bless this time.
Amen.
Oh, we look to you to continue your leading.
Amen.
Lead us on this morning.
Amen.
Anoint all the speaking.
Amen.
Lord, we are fully open to you.
Amen.
Lord, thank you when we touch you. New life is glowing.
Amen.
And
growing.
Thank you for the new life.
Amen.
And thank you for what you're doing with us.
Amen.
Saints. Saints, when we met last time on December 12th, I believe it was, on December 12th, we had a lot of fellowship concerning our going on in this new year, and especially our desire to even trailblaze in certain areas, certain specific areas in our going on in the church life here. And certain specific areas were mentioned, and we do believe that within these 4 or 5 weeks, there has been a lot of responding to the burden, and even some specific steps have been taken to initiate something in each of these burdens. So we'd like to hear from some of you concerning some of these areas. Then the first area we'd like to hear about is concerning the gospel. We're having a gospel meeting tonight.
Amen.
The gospel meeting in the English speaking gospel meeting. So we wonder if some of you brothers could fellowship with us and bring us up to date on your labor and also the burden for tonight. Then we'll go on to some of the other areas.
Amen.
Amen. It'd be good if you stand together. Yeah, stand together.
Would it be good to share something about Brooklyn after we share about the gospel meeting tonight and our fellowship we've had all week?
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Well, a group of us brothers met about a week ago, I think about 12 of us, and we prayed and we fellowshipped. And one strong desire that came out of that time a week ago was that brothers would regularly, every day, get together to pray over in this past week. And so we've been doing that over the phone. And brothers and sisters, it has been marvelous.
Amen.
Just so encouraging. You know, in a gospel meeting, there are so many things to arrange, so many details to take care of. But I think we brothers all experienced that it was so good to pray.
Amen.
Just to put that as the first. And I think that our fellowship really followed from that. Our burden, us three brothers, we'll be giving the message tonight. And our burden is that Jesus is the one who satisfies our thirst.
Amen.
After all the celebration and the holidays, we realize in humanity there is still a thirst for satisfaction.
Amen.
And so we'll be using John 7:37 and other verses to compel people to drink the Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
Saints, just to echo what our brother's been saying, the prayer has really been guiding all the coordination. We had three specific prayer times. When anyone can join, anyone can pray. I'm looking at a bunch of brothers who I've prayed with this week, and just personally, I've experienced the Lord satisfying me, right? Coming in, being able to drink of Him has really just shaped everything that happened through the course of this week. And we realized last week as we were having that time of prayer, the coordination isn't what's important, right? It's really just being one with the Lord. When you're one with the Lord, everything flows from that. So we've just been praying together, and it's been awesome.
Amen.
You know, it's just been incredible. So tonight, we just know the Lord's going to bless us, right?
Amen.
Because we've come to Him first in everything. And so our brother was sharing that the burden for tonight is that we have to share this one who satisfies to all these thirsty ones. And I know we've experienced it. We know so many in our lives. So just continue to stand with us in prayer. I've seen so many different practical services being met and coordinated by so many brothers as a result of the flow of the prayer, right? So as long as we stay before the Lord, we keep praying, we just honor King Jesus. I know tonight's going to be awesome. And the rest of the year is going to be in the same way. So saints, we just have to keep praying and let Him do what He wants to do.
Amen.
Yeah, I really enjoyed the prayer with the brothers this week. I feel like it just fans the flame of the burden, and you really pick up the burden as you pray together. I was going to say something about Brooklyn. In the Brooklyn district, some of the coordinating brothers got together last week, and we fellowshiped a number of items we'd been praying and considering. You know, how we want to trailblaze this year. We want to pick up the things that worked in the past, but we also want to figure out some new ways to go on, to really move forward in our outreach of the gospel. A lot of times this week I was thinking about what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9. He talked about people who compete in, the, I think, specifically the Olympic Games. But in one of the verses, I think it's chapter 9, maybe verse 2, at the end of the verse he says, run in this way that you may lay hold. And so a couple things that we fellowshipped about in Brooklyn that we'd like to try this year. Maybe Brother Ivanhoe could share something about the specific outreach that we'll be doing related to BFA and the specific burden there. But what we're also going to try to do is have somewhat of like a gospel training. And we shared some burden about the gospel last Lord's Day with all the brothers and sisters. And what we'd like to try to do, and what we're going to try, is have a sign-up. If you're burdened for the gospel, sign up. And then we're going to pair the saints together two by two to pray. And every week we're going to encourage them to pray a couple of times. We're going to provide some gospel prayer journals to write down what they've been praying for. And then as we go forward, we'll have some opportunity, those ones that we've been praying for, particularly the warm doors, people we've already contacted, praying for them in a consistent way, laboring for a couple of weeks. Then we're going to have some special fellowship to go out and contact the ones we've been praying for. Amen. So this is what we're going to try. We'll see if it works. And if it works, we'll be very happy. And if it doesn't work, we'll get some perfecting.
Amen.
So I think that's probably enough to share. It'll be trailblazing anyway. That's right.
Amen.
Right. Brother Ivanhoe, did you want to say something about the... No, it'd be good.
So, we got... Hallelujah. So, we got together in fellowship and had some prayer together concerning our outreach in the Brooklyn community. And we have the advantage that Brother Marvin is connected to some of the housing communities in the neighborhood, and he had interaction with one of the believer there, and he said, "Well, I'm tired of going to these places, and I'm hungry for the truth, right?" So it that gave him an opportunity to open up and say, "Well, you know, there's a possibility to do something." So we're trying to work that angle, and that might be one of the places where we put the table. But the plan is to do it in two phases. As our brother mentioned, we want to have this outreach, but at the same time, we want to follow that up with a BFA seminar. And the purpose of the BFA seminar is, again, to contact those who are already familiar with the ministry, who are already open to the ministry and have received the ministry, to follow up, to let them know that, hey, there are some who are endeavoring to follow the truth that is revealed in the ministry. So the plan is to set that we've set the dates beforehand so that when we go out, we have dates to give these ones. So the idea is we put the table out on a Saturday, or we do the outreach on a Saturday, and that following Lord's Day or a couple Lord's Days after, we have a seminar to kind of reap the benefit of our outgoing. And because we have the dates beforehand, if ones can't make it to the closest one, they would be able to probably go to the following one or the one after that. So the dates that we have tentatively are, and this is for your prayer, we very much need the prayer of all the saints to carry this out. January 30 would be the outreach, and February 6 would be the seminar. The month after that would be March 5 and March 12. So March 5 we outreach, March 12 we have the seminar. And then lastly, March 26 we have outreach, with April 2 being the seminar. And this would all culminate in a gospel meeting, which would be held on April 16, right? And this is all in preparation, again, for the conference that is going to be held on the weekend of the 29th. So April 29th, there's going to be a big conference organized by Living Stream related to the burden for the English-speaking and typical Americans, which are English-speaking. Remember, our brother Peter highlighted that this burden covers everyone, right? It's not just a particular group. The burden for the English-speaking and for the typical Americans is a burden for everyone, right? So the plan would be, before we go out, we gather in groups and we pray together. And the reason we pray together to be filled with the Lord, to encourage one another, and then we break up and pray individually, right? A lot of times, the hindrance to the gospel is because there are iniquities in our being. There are things that are preventing our clear and clean fellowship with the Lord. So we need to purify and pray for each one of these items one by one. I believe there's a list of about 19 items that we need to pray for and be before the Lord. The purpose being so that our spirit is on fire and so that we're filled outwardly with the Spirit. So that when we go out, we are effective and we have the power of the Spirit to convict and turn people from darkness to light, to bring them to our Lord. Amen. So that's kind of what we've been in fellowshipping in Brooklyn, and I'll turn it back to the brothers.
Amen. I think we're done. Yeah.
Amen.
I'll just add one note to what Brother Ivanhoe mentioned concerning Brooklyn. The reason that one of the reasons that we're combining this burden with Bibles for America, if you remember, one of the areas that we talked about in December was the specific outreach to the African American communities.
The outreach to the African American community, and our experience here over the past few years in our outreach through Bibles for America has been that we've gotten the greatest responses from the African American community, both in the receiving of the Bibles or the ordering of Bibles, as well as the attendance to the seminars that we have had in the past. Then we had some fellowship recently with the brothers who are taking the lead kind of nationally in this burden concerning the outreach to the African Americans, and they have come upon the same results. And they had a fellowship during the recent winter training in Anaheim with the brothers from heading up Bibles for America, and it was discovered that actually the biggest response to the Bibles is where the communities are either have a large number or have a majority of African Americans, and so they are also realizing that they can dovetail these two burdens of the outreach in the gospel, the outreach for the Bibles for America, with the burden to the specific outreach to the African American community. So that's why in Brooklyn these two burdens are really coming together. And Brother Ivanhoe mentioned, and we'll make all these dates available to you and make it clear, so we'll have announcements, because we hope it's not just the brothers, the saints in Brooklyn at these seminars, but that we all could support one another. And then leading up to a gospel meeting in April, but then at the end of April, that is April 29 and 30 and May 1st, we will have the conference in Brooklyn with this specific burden of the outreach to the African-American community. So,
amen.
First of all, I want to commend on the prayer effort of the brothers since last Saturday until today. The prayers has been going on three times a day. And I think this is going to really, really bring in the blessing. First of all, is the brothers praying and coordinating, you are already being saved. And saved into this burden, this effort, and into really the care for each other. I was very touched in some of the prayers. It's just praying for each other. That's the step of building up together. The coordination is very sweet. Second of all, is my wife is now working in Brooklyn in SUNY Downstate. She works there three days a week,
right.
And since March, and she has come to know so many African Americans, from the parking garage to the street corners. I mean, I'm not saying much about my wife. She just say hi, and say a few words, and say praise the Lord. And there, she said quite a few are so warmed up by her greetings. And the guys who is serving in the parking garage, and now from time to time, if he doesn't see her, he even reserve a parking spot for her, because I mean, she introduced herself as a Christian, you know, meeting in New Jersey, meeting in New York City. I mean, just openly confessing, we are a Christian.
Amen.
That's already draw a lot. A few days ago, she came to me. She said, "I need some tracks." I said, "Okay," and I needed the meeting addresses in Brooklyn and other parts. What happened is that day she walked out to buy a little veggie to bring back here, and there's a crossing guard, as a middle-aged lady, a crossing guard. And she just said, "Hi, and thank you for your service for the kids." And that woman looked at her and said, "Are you Chinese?" And she said, "Yes." And she said, "You're a unique Chinese, because no other Chinese ever said hi to me." And then they stroke, because there's no kids crossing, so they stroke a conversation, and they begin to share their joy in the Lord.
Amen.
And then that a woman, about 10 minutes, my wife said, and then the woman said, "I'm here every weekdays," okay, which means you should come out more to talk with me. So my wife said, "I need to give me some material, because I need to give it to them." So brothers and sisters, so many people are open. Don't judge by the colors. Don't judge by the feathers. Just open ourselves up. And I drove through Brooklyn a few times. I mean, the community is so divided. You can see you're driving across Spanish-speaking zone, Jewish zone, African-American zone, and a Chinese zone. It's so clearly divided. But in the church life, we need to be open to all.
Amen.
Particularly this year, for the African American in general. I mean, I don't know what term. Trust me, I'm not a politically corrected, okay? Just the black people.
Amen.
I mean, the black people. We need really open to them. Because these days, because of let me warn you, the Muslim is drawing large crowd of young African Americans to them, because the social imbalance, or whatever you call it, is if we don't reach out to them, the enemy will. You can see there are a lot of radicalized young men. They are African Americans. This is something we needed to, just not only for the gospel, we needed to really fight this warfare to gain the young, particularly the young African Americans. Okay, so this is, I just give you a little testimony. We bring some tracks with you all the time. You just gave them a track, crossing guard. Praise the Lord. We need some stamps for our addresses. In Brooklyn's, you know, meeting addresses, actually it's our Lord's Day meeting addresses, you know, some rubber stamps, just a stamp it, just come to our meetings. That's probably something we needed to prepare very quickly. Amen.
Amen.
Marvin, you want to?
Well, the brothers have asked me to say a little bit of something. I guess, obviously, I'm African-American, right? But to be specifically, I'm Haitian American, Caribbean American, right? So there are a lot of different persons in our community who are people of color. And one thing that I think we have to realize is we have the benefit of the church life, right? The majority of people of color that you'll come in contact with are Christians. I hope you understand. We're believers. You know, we've been believers since we were little kids. We know church. Sunday, you put the suit on, you go, you listen to the pastor, you hear the choir sing, and that's it. And then the rest of your life, you just live your life during the week. But we have the day-to-day, house-to-house church life, and that's super attractive, right? And we know that we need to have this organic shepherding, right? This love in the homes. But oftentimes, in my experience, when I come to the homes, there might not be enough people who look like me, right? And that's on me. That's how I feel. But I think all of us realize it's a different age, right? In the schools, these kids are related to so many different people. They understand that their group of friends might not necessarily just be of their same race or their same culture. And this is something we need to talk to our young persons about, but also something we need to be patterns for, right? So I appreciate the brothers opening up this burden. And even Brother Peter's testimony concerning his wife, we can all enter in. So this isn't something for me as a Caribbean American to enter into. This is for everybody. It doesn't matter what race, nationality, or culture. We have seekers out there. And it's not a coincidence that so many people of color are going after these Bibles for America Bibles, right? It's not a coincidence, because there is a famine in the land and people are hungry for truth. So maybe I could just give a bit of a testimony. I grew up going to a black church, you know, that's where we were. And I was saved, and I was saved with the gospel concerning this matter of the lake of fire. Basically, if you're bad, you're going to hell. And that's it. And I might have heard that every Sunday since I was kindergarten all the way up until that time in fourth grade. And I received the Lord, and it impacted me. But unfortunately, that's all the food there is out there. That's just all you hear. And it becomes very difficult if you don't know the higher truths and the higher things concerning God's economy. And that's why people are seeking these BFA Bibles. One time, all I did in my workplace is I took one of these gold bars, right? This BFA Bible, and just put it up in my cubicle at work. And a brother walks by and he says, "Oh, you have one of those?" And I was like, "Yeah, I do have one of those. Actually, I served with Bibles for America." He was like, "Oh, about 10 years, I got one of those. I got one for me. I got one for my daughter. My wife has one. We all have that." And I was like, wow. You know, this brother's name is Claremont Paul. Pray for him. And this is a brother in Brooklyn from Guyana who came, who has this gold bar, who should be in the church life, right? Amen. So this is what the ministry does. It goes before us, and this is what we need to present to people who are hungry, right? Because, I mean, how many times can you hear that you need to be saved from the lake of fire, you know? We know this. The altar calls are done. What we need to know is about how to be saved organically in life day by day, right? Amen. And so I'm just... Amen to this burden. I think all of us just need to pray and really just go out and speak to these hungry ones.
Amen.
I think the brothers in this Spanish-speaking group meetings want to share also.
Yeah. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. First of all, I would like to begin a little testimony. This week I was praying with a group in the morning, and I just felt so watered. And for some reason, I know we are in the new man, but in our practicality, sometimes we are, like, in my case, too much Spanish. And in this case, we have the English gospel meeting, and we were praying. And I was so worried that we had Korean-speaking brothers on the phone, the English-speaking brothers. I myself was there. And there's really no language in this bird. It's just humanity. If you're a human being, you qualify to be saved. Christ died for all men.
Amen.
And I had an invited one at work, the English teacher at the school I work, and she's not going to be able to make it tonight. But I was not discouraged. The opposite. I just knew this was not just my little project to bring my friend to the church. It was about salvation. Right. And I believe she's actually open, so I believe she's going to be reached maybe a different way. The Lord has... His way, so it's not my way, but The main thing is that the salvation begins with me, as Brother Peter shared. Somebody was saved through those prayers. I was saved the entire week. So praise the Lord, there's no language. But for practical matters, of course, we have to help those who speak Spanish. We will bring the gospel to them and the church life. So we would like to share a few things. There are some matters that we can share about what's going on in the Northeast that we are actively involved, and also locally. So I guess Francisco could share what's going on locally, and I will share what's going on in the Northeast. So we have been having some time with brothers from the church in Philadelphia, the churches in New Jersey. We ourselves, we go to Manalapan the second Saturday of every month. So last week we had some time with them. And mainly what we do is just pray, seeking the Lord's direction. And out of that time, wonderful things has happened. And particularly this last weekend, we had the presence of Brother Ed, Brother Ricky, and Brother Dennis. And that was so encouraging to us. And this is in response to this burden for this year to trailblaze. But we don't want to do it alone. We want to include all these brothers and all these churches. And so it was just a wonderful time we had. We spent probably the first 75% of the time we spent together on the Word, singing, enjoying the ministry and the Word. And then the last 25% of that time, then we talk about practical matters. And things just flow so easily and so smoothly that we really felt that we are being led to the by the Lord in this direction and doing it together, seeking the Lord's direction together. And out of that came the realization that there is a need among the Spanish-speaking sisters, among the Spanish-speaking saints, but we want to take care of this need among the sisters, that we need some perfecting. So the sisters, we'd like to have that time. We would like to have that time. And in prayer and coordination with brothers that include also the churches from Connecticut and the churches in the Boston area. So we are praying that we will have such perfecting time. And in the coordination, it has come out that we will have this time this year. And the tentative time will be the first weekend of April. And that will take place in the Peniel camp. So hallelujah, we have this time. And even before we closed the deal, we were already praying for this. And it's coming. So we are very, very encouraged that we are moving in this direction together with the churches in the Northeast. And this is what the Lord is doing among the Spanish-speaking saints. So I am just so happy to bring this report to you, brothers, and just to ask you for your prayers that this will continue, and also it will bring more brothers into this burden. One of the things we realize is we just need more and more prayer, much prayer. And not just prayer, but the kind of prayer that's offered at the incense altar, a prayer for maturity, that the saints will rise up and mature, that they will bear responsibility wherever they are, and so we will be able to be one with the Lord in the formation of his army. Amen. To fight for his interests, to allow the Lord to spread and to move on the earth. Amen. Amen.
Praise the Lord. I'm very encouraged to see that actually the Lord is moving along, and not only in the Spanish speaking saints, but among every in general with the saints in New York. And I really appreciate. I wasn't gonna start sharing about the home meeting, but I got the feeling that I have to start with the gospel meeting, because in the past years, when we used to have the gospel meeting, we used to get saints that got saved, but we haven't get those remaining fruits in our home meetings, in the church life. So I'm very, like I said, very happy to see now how the Lord is moving on now. We can see how the Lord has advance, and in the last gospel meeting that we have, we got so many that got saved, and so many that got baptized.
Amen.
And I'm really, really encouraged to see that those that got saved, got baptized, they are meeting with us in the home meetings.
Amen.
And In Queens, we have the North Queens and the South Queens, we have two home meetings. And Long Island, we have that we meet on Monday, and in the South Queens, and then in North Queens, and in the South Queens we meet on Tuesday. And I'm sorry, the opposite. On Tuesday we meet with the North Queens and South Queens on Monday, and then Wednesday we have a meeting, home meeting in Long Island, and two home meetings in the Bronx. And like I said, you know, I'm very happy that, you know, to hear and to see that in every home meeting we have new ones meeting with us. Amen. And meet new ones that got saved, like I said, in the last gospel meeting, and new ones that got saved in the home meetings.
Amen.
So this is really encouraging.
Amen.
And concerning the gospel itself, there was many times that when, you know, we try to follow up with these people that got saved, but for some reason or another, you know, we never got them to get them in the home meetings, and sometimes I got discouraged. But you know, I realized that myself, you know, when we had the home meetings, we didn't have that much. I would say kind of oneness with the person that with the saints that I was serving with. But this time, and during this, I would say past couple of years, me and Osmar were very close together, and we've been serving together. And we have seen lately, like in the in the home meetings now, it's not like it used to be before. Like I would put the day for when the home meeting I wanted to be, or I would cancel that day because I cannot make it. But this time, it will completely be for, you know, the home meetings for the new ones itself. You know, we've been meeting according to their need.
Right.
Last time we changed the home meeting from Monday not because we wanted to be on Monday. It's because the new ones were the only day that you could meet on Monday. Right. So that was so precious to see that, you know, they're enjoying the home meetings. And concerning the gospel, we'll see in the past, like I said, you know, like, I was afraid to have the gospel meeting because of that, you know, there's so many new ones, and, you know, we don't have that much time. I wish I can be here in Queens and also in the Bronx or in Long Island. But, you know, that was a discouragement to me. But, you know, we see so many saints also responding to the Lord's call. We see now in the Bronx, we have so many saints with the burden for the gospel and serving with the new ones. Same thing in Long Island. So that's really encouraging to me and for Osmar to see that the saints are raising up and to be one with the Lord.
Amen.
So right now, one more meeting that we have also on Tuesday, on Saturday, we meet at 7 with the saints to pray, mainly to pray. And, you know, if we have some time, we coordinate with the what's going on among the Spanish-speaking saints. But our burden right now has been like to pray. To
Amen.
Pray for all those that got saved.
Amen.
And also pray for the gospel.
Amen.
You know, I'm not afraid anymore to have a gospel meeting.
Amen.
Because this is God's burden.
Amen.
This is not, you know, like a burden that originated on myself. This is the Lord's burden, and I need to respond to it.
Amen.
So, but it's been a much praying. And I remember and never forget those words that Brother Freddie, when he used to be here, he used to say, like, I trust more in what we pray and that in what I can do. And that
right.
never gets out of my mouth. So
Amen.
My burden is to pray.
Amen.
The Lord will do the rest.
Amen.
So I'm really encouraged again, for this, what the Lord's doing among us. And we'll continue to pray for the Spanish-speaking saints.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
You've been praying for with a few other brothers too?
Yes, brother.
Just 30 seconds, you know? Because this is really, I'm not a say anything, just we need to check out the beer for
right.
And a personal shepherd to each other. This is what we really need.
Amen.
In every language, every
right.
home region.
Right.
Okay. I'm not trying to promote you or put you on the spot.
Well, actually, I I had a question that I asked Brother Dennis, and I didn't know. Maybe this is, I felt great. You know, we have to fight sometimes certain, the old man continuously try to rise up. And just being in the fellowship with the saints and in the Lord's business is just a salvation for me.
Amen.
So I was the happiest husband and the happiest Amen. Teacher Amen. In the school, the happiest father, despite the situations that are always present. But then somebody asked me that question, and I just answered genuinely the truth. And then after I answered that question, I had a question, and I asked Brother Dennis that question. I was, well, I've been feeling great, but maybe it is not so good that I'm every day too busy. But so thank you for the fellowship, brother. Amen. I guess this is the way.
Amen.
What I'm saying, I know a lot of saints are sitting here.
I know a lot of saints are sitting here probably doing the same thing. Been praying with others, shepherding others, going to home meetings, visiting saints. I'm just a, I don't know what did he do before, but I just recently got to know our brother is really caring for others, you know, seeking out to pray with others, to find a new ones to shepherd. This is what we need in the church life. Amen. That's how the number grows. And all the life grows.
Amen.
So we really needed to shepherd, exercise, really sacrifice. We have to sacrifice the comfort of our family life. I'm sorry. You just got to, if you go out to care for others, you're not going to be with your kids all the time. I mean, hope your wife, Yadi, is not complaining anything. But that's just part of the sacrifices. We just needed to care for the new ones, the young ones, the backslided ones, those who have not met with us for a while. Go out to visit them, to care for them, bring them back to the church life. I think this is almost we need everybody to rise up to do this. May not be every night, but what about at least one night a week?
Amen.
One night a week to go visit somebody. And a lot of our home meetings might be growing too stale or stale. Too stale. I mean, we have been meeting with each other for 10, 20, 30, 40 years. I mean, you say the first sentence, I already know what kind of a testimony you're going to give. When you say something, I already know what's next. That's become too stale. We need to have new ones. We need to have really recovered ones for our fresh water, living water, to flow. I'm just using him as a shooting dart, maybe, huh? Just we really needed to go out, contact, visit, shepherd, you know, invite others to our homes, open our homes. So you will see the result after 6 months. So what happens? That's what Brother Andrew was talking about. That was all he was talking about. If you do the simple things, the Lord will do the rest. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I've seen brothers very busy and even with meetings every night, but not always necessarily so happy. It's a real testimony to have the joy of the Lord in this labor. That means it's full of grace.
Amen.
And their supply. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. The Korean-speaking brothers would like to share something. Amen.
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 Howie.
Praise the Lord. Howie, it's Neil here.
Praise the Lord, saints. I will give some the report on the Korean-speaking activity and work. So 2013, January 20th, the Korean-speaking saints started praying together on the phone. So it was, it's every Lord's Day, 9 p.m. It's been 3 years, almost 3 years. But so far, we only missed two times. Otherwise, we all time get there to pray.
Amen.
Especially we pray for specifically some the needs of Korean-speaking saints and also the need of outreach of the gospel to Korean-speaking society. But by the Lord's leading, last year, November 20th to 22nd, Brother Andrew Wu was here with some fellowship, and after that, we had some burden to pray with the English-speaking saints. So November 26th, that was last year, Thanksgiving Day, we started to have prayer, not only Korean-speaking saints, but with English-speaking saints. Then the week after week, the Lord added more brothers. So by far, 8 brothers pray all together on the weekdays. Amen. And then last December, the leading brothers opens up the burden of trailblazing, especially they also mentioned Korean-speaking society. Still, before we thought like we are small in number and we don't know what to do, we pray, but still we are not strong enough to move on. But now we are standing all together, not only Korean-speaking saints. The whole body is standing with us. And all the start is from the prayer. The week after week, we pray more and more, we pick up the burden. And now we realize we have Korean speaking function, but not we are not separate from the body. Still we express this marvelous person, Jesus Christ, in New York City. Amen. We are moving together. Amen. So we are so encouraged. And also throughout this prayer, now we pick up some burden to pursue more truth. So now Monday night, before years ago, 3 brothers got together on the phone. We read a live study, but it was kind of paused, stopped for a while. But after we began this praying together, and right away, we all agreed, hey, brothers, let's read the live study again. Amen. Let's pursue the truth. Let's be equipped with the truth. Then we opened this matter to all Korean-speaking brothers, and they pick up the burden. So now even we have 6 or 7, even from college, from Brother Howie, we, on the phone, on Friday, on Monday night, we read through this Exodus live study together. Amen. So we are marching on, but we are marching on in one body. Amen. So we are so happy to move on, and then still we need more of your prayers. Amen. But also we have the burden to have Korean-speaking gospel meeting. Amen. But in one sense, we have done this gospel meeting at home whenever we have new ones. Sometimes there's some visitors from Korea or from other cities. They stay here only 3 days, a week, or 2 weeks. We didn't pass this opportunity out. We still grab the opportunity. We preach the gospel. Even if they go back to their locality or go back to Korea, still, we preach the gospel because we realize this preaching is not like increased number in New York City. It's increasing the body. We bring more building material. Wherever they are, they express Christ in their locality. So that's kind of our view. Still, we are in short in number. Still, he's moving on, and we are going in this way. But still, we have really burden. Still, we gather more building material. Even over here, whenever we go to this Northern Boulevard, Bayside, or Flushing, there are a lot of Koreans out there, but they are occupied with their culture and their religion. But they really need release from the religion and culture. Amen. So we all need your prayer. Amen. And then we are so encouraged because standing together here, and we need more. We ask more of your prayers, amen, and we're marching on together in this year.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I think Brother Newman shared a lot about what has happened and in New York City. My name is Juan, W-A-N, Juan. Yes. I am currently living in Jersey City, New Jersey, which is very close to the city. And for Lord's Day meeting, I've been meeting in Manhattan. But we also, in Jersey City, we also have a small group meeting and also a Tuesday night prayer meeting. So it's been almost more than about 4 years since I moved to Jersey City. And when I first moved in, there was no home meeting. So I used to go to Manhattan to join the meeting. But, you know, the Lord was faithful to begin the small group meeting. And more families moved to Jersey City, and we started the first home meeting, I believe that was 2012. Right now we have about five families and some about 5 to 7 college students, and we're all meeting together on Saturday night and also Tuesday for prayer meeting. And the Lord has really blessed us in many different ways. And we do get many visitors, too. And also, we really witness the duplication where we bring new ones, and they really enjoy the meeting, and they'll bring other friends. And we realize that there's much traffic in Jersey City as well. So we just pray that the Lord will bring more hungry ones to the meeting, and they'll be supplied, and they will really touch the tree of life. And our burden for Jersey City was to preach the gospel, and we tried to gather together in the park. There's a small park in the Jersey City for BFA to spread the word. There has been some problem with city council, and you know, we were not allowed to solicit in the park. So we just had to set up the table, and we had to just sit there and not able to really approach to the people. But it was okay. We met some new people. Gave out the Bibles, and we're also planning to go to local market to see if we can set up the table and for BFA. So I think the Lord is really moving, but personally, I also go through many mistakes and failures and realize that there's nothing much I could do just to really trust in the Lord. Approaching my close friends who are living in that area, or bringing new ones to the meeting. Anything I do, I realize that if I'm not in the spirit, and if I'm trying to bring up my own effort to do anything, there's no life. And I think the Lord has been teaching each saint in the area how to trust in the Lord and how to trust in the power of gospel. So I praise the Lord that for everything that he has done and he will do in Jersey City. We have many different language groups, and thankfully we are able to cover major languages like Korean, English, Spanish, Chinese. So I believe that since the population is really growing fast in Jersey City, this is not a coincidence. So we believe that the Lord has planned for Jersey City. So we just keep praying for his increase. Amen.
I just want to follow these brothers in this matter of prayer. So I guess recently I and some other brothers joined these brothers for the weekly prayer. And really I appreciate that even with all these burdens, it's not a matter of let's get ready and do some work. But the real work is starting in our prayer. Amen. And there was one time where I had to mute myself because I was in transit, but I really wanted to join. But just listening to the prayers, that fuels something. You know, people, often when we have a lot of new ones come in, it's good to prepare them for amens. You know, why we say amens. We say amen a lot. But actually, when we're praying together, we can enter into one another's spirit and their burden, and that does something to us. It evokes an amen in our spirit. So our spirits are joining to be one. You know, if we're just one stick burning, it doesn't burn that brightly. But if you gather a lot of sticks together, it can have a great fire. So I appreciate this matter, the prayer burden. And I also want to echo what the brothers were sharing, that even though we bring up this matter about the different language groups, there's no borders here, right? Just listening to the story that Brother Peter gave, you know, it seems like we're fishing one by one, you know, throwing. But actually, the fishing in the Bible and the Gospels is a net. And really, I feel like this burden is just casting a net over the whole city. Amen. And many we brought in. And actually, it might be that the one you bring in is not the one that may, in your language group, right? But you bring them in. But there is, in the church life here, there's all language groups to meet all kinds of needs, to help them, to shepherd, to make the adjustment. So I really appreciate that this is not, you know, just a burden that's so narrow. It's very broad. But our heart needs to be broad as well. So,
Newman, maybe you can translate. Howard, feel free to speak in Korean.
Better, yes. yes, yeah. 우리 그 한국어 성도들이 정말 이 교회 안에서 인수는 작습니다. 하지만 어느 지체보다도 많은 그런 그 부담을 가지고 있습니다.
The Korean speaking saints are small in number, but we have a lot of burden from the Lord.
특히 우리 뉴욕 교회에서 한국어를 말하는 성도들의 그 인수 증가와 그런 그 지체들을 얻는 데 대한 부담을 교회 자체 우리 그 교회에서 가지고 있다는 것을 저희가 알고 있습니다.
So we know we have this burden through the church. Then we need to grow in numbers, but also we grab more building material into this local locality.
몇 년 전에 이 벤자민 형제님께서 한번 설교하실 때 노던블바드를 갈 때마다 자기는 가슴이 아프다는 이런 말을 들었을 때 형제님은 그런 그 길에서 한국어 모든 집집마다 보면은 그 노던블바드 선상에 모든 한국 사람들을 보고 마음 아파할 때 우리는 뭐 했었는가 할 때 정말 아주 마음이 정말 서글플 뿐만이 아니라 어떤 그 정말 우리가 여기에서 그리스도인이라고 하면서 교회에서 안주하고 있으면서 뭘 하고 있나 한번 되돌아보는 생활을 하게 됐습니다. 그때.
So Brother Benjamin shared a few times whenever he walked through Newton Boulevard, his heart aches because there are a lot of Korean peoples around. Then, but why they are not here? Whenever Brother Howie heard this sharing from Benjamin Chan, and then his heart also ached, but also he has some regret why we are not responding to this word.
우리가 그런 그 부담은 가지고 있었지만 정말 우리가 그 바울 형제님 말씀 우리가 싸워도 향방 없이 싸우는 자가 아니고 정말 우리가 그런 그 부담을 가지고 있을 때 정말 뭘 어떻게 해야 될지 정말 개인적으로 나가서 출액도 나눠보고 사람도 만나보고 뭐 그랬지만 어떤 큰 결실은 없었습니다.
So the brother Paul mentioned we are not fighting without a direction, but anyway we tried a few the way to preach the gospel. We went outside to distribute gospel tract. Also we opened up we placed a BFA table, but still we haven't had much fruit.
But 하지만 우리가 그 작년 한 2년 전부터 느껴지는 게 우선 그 가정 복음 집회를 우리가 한국어 성도들끼리 서로 그 펠로우십을 갖고 우리가 person to person 이렇게 인바이트 해서 가정 집회를 가정 복음 집회를 갖는 게 어떤가 해서 우리가 한 2년 전부터는 계속 그런 그 실행을 해 왔고 또 지금도 현재는 지금 every Tuesday 저녁에 뉴만과 브라더 뉴만 그 다음에 저우구에서 한 사람을 또 그 라이브 스터디 그 바이블 스터디에 지금 초대를 해서 우리가 지금 한 almost 지금 two months 지금 두 달 동안 지금 그런 거 실행을 하고 있고 지금 계속 그 한국어 성도들끼리 복음 집회에 관해서 지금 계속 우리가 하고 있는데 우리가 느낀 것은 제일 먼저 해야 될 것은 기도라는 걸 이제 알았습니다. 그래서 티모데이 홍 형제가 몇 주 전에 저한테 우리가 기도로 서로 동역 기도로 그 정해진 시간에 기도를 하면 어떻겠느냐 했을 때 그걸 억셉도 하고 우리가 기도로 모든 것을 부담을 내놨을 때 교회에서 그런 그 한국어 성도들에 대한 부담을 또한 저희들에게 넘겨주고 저희와 같이 기도로 동역할 수 있는 그런 그게 굉장히 저한테 저희들한테 아주 힘이 됐던 겁니다.
So last 2 years, the Korean speaking saints started having a home gospel meeting. So we invite gospel friends, either one or two. And then when they're attending our home meetings, we preach the gospel. So from November, we have one new gospel friend, and then he was quite open. So now we are having our small group. It's not small group meeting, but only Brother Howie and then myself and then him. Yeah, reading the life study together on Tuesday night. So anyway, so we have this kind of practice, so we are moving on. But lastly, Brother Howie realized all this beginning is from the prayer, so we need to pray more.
So that's why this time, even not to pray with just all Korean saints, with not the Hong. It's even like Brother Dennis and Paul, it's Ricky. You know, everybody join. It's with the Korean saint. It's we are talk about preaching the gospel and just build up the body. You know, for everything. So really, you know, thankful to all the saints and thanks to the church. You know, anyway, we are very encouraged. It's everybody's but just stand by us. It's really thanks to God. Hallelujah.
You know, for this whole year, last year practically, we were praying for the matter of the camp in Kingston. And the brothers will say more about that later. But I'm not sure that we all are that aware of what the Lord has been doing in the whole area. You know, we have had some families up there, and actually we have some families moving up there. And then we found more families that anyway, you'll hear the saints are going to report now. How about you all come up? Yeah, you all come up. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. They have a presentation also that they're going to show to us.
Say your
please
name.
Introduce yourselves. Yeah, please introduce yourselves.
My name is Chris Lord. Thank you. My name is Milnes, and that's my wife, Damaris.
Why don't you stand up? Yeah. Milnes and Damaris. Yeah, go ahead, Avi.
Hi, my name is Avi, and my wife is Vidya.
Amen. Vidya, stand up all the way there. Very good. Amen.
My name is Rufus and my wife Brandy.
Amen. Amen.
Can they all come out because we don't know who they are?
Yeah. Yeah, come on. That's what I meant.
Don't be shy.
Yeah.
Stand next to them. Oh. Back them up.
I see respect.
Yeah.
They're all in the same family.
Amen.
They don't speak right, knock their heads.
Yeah. And that's mercy. That's mercy there. It's mercy. Mary is somewhere. Yeah. Go ahead, Mills.
Amen. Praise the Lord, saints. It's wonderful to be here and to give you kind of a quick report on the situation upstate in the Mid-Hudson Valley. Just wanted to say that it's about a year ago, we didn't even know anything about this camp, and I and Damaris was, we were talking about where we wanted to live and where we should be, because I was living upstate in Fishkill already, but my heart was to move closer to the city so that I can spend more time with the saints, and so we were fellowshipping with Brother Ricky, and that's when we first learned about the camp and the burden to actually move further, further north, away from the city. And at the time, you know, we weren't sure what was going on. You know, we were very happy to hear about the camp, but then over the last year, we've been so touched and so encouraged by all of, by what the Lord's doing up there. Mm-hmm. You know, we thought there was nothing there except the three families, but you know, every few months we hear about this family being there, this family who you used to meet, this other family, and over time, the Lord has just opened up all of these families who have, you know, been meeting at one time or the other. Some of them are new saints who are moving into the area. We had the Rufus and Sister Brandy moving up from the city, and we've just been so impressed with what the Lord is doing in the Mid-Hudson Valley. Amen. And we just thank all the saints who have been praying. I know they've been praying about it in Brooklyn, about the situation up there, about in our area, and in all the other prayer meetings as well. And we've just been, we just wanted to say, praise the Lord, saints. All of your prayers have really, really released the Lord's will and the Lord's doing in the Mid-Hudson Valley. So, just to give you a quick view of where everything is, so that's a map of the Mid-Hudson Valley and all the different families that have sort of opened up over the last year. So I and Damaris live in Poughkeepsie. Brother Avi and Sister Vidya and their daughter Kimberly live in Newburgh. And Brother Rufus and Sister Brandy and the children just moved up just 2 weeks ago to New Windsor. As well. And we also have a new brother, Brother D and his wife, Min. They moved from North Dakota. Actually, they might make it here to a little bit later today, so if you see them. And they, Brother D actually met the saints on college in North Dakota and was saved and baptized very recently, only about 3 months ago. So praise the Lord for that. And they have moved to New Paltz, very close to the camp. You can see where the camp is with relation to where all the families are. So you can see there's a lot of families here, a lot of names. Please pray for every one of them. Because we want, our burden this year is to really recover all of these saints, all of these families to come to a full enjoyment of the Lord. Due to the distance, a lot of them aren't able to come down to the city to enjoy the meetings. Mm-hmm. And that's why we really want to be starting to meet up there, and so that all of these families can come to just really come to a full enjoyment of the Lord. Yeah. If you go to the next chart, I don't know, brothers, did you want to mention about?
No, that's fine. That's good.
The next chart is a quick overview of what the transit options are, and the reason we put this up here is so you can all come up often. And just as a personal testimony, and I and Damaris can testify to this, one of the most encouraging, most wonderful things, because of you know how far we are, is to have saints visit us. And we've had a couple of families, the households and the Sandlands and some of the other saints visit us upstate, and it's been such an encouragement to us, and it's been so wonderful. So please come up, visit us, visit the camp, and we are there. So please don't feel like you're bothering us. So just come by, call us, let us know, because it's so wonderful to just have you in our homes. So lots of colleges too, so lots of fertile ground for us to preach the gospel. We have one student at Vassar College, Brother Sam, who meets in Manhattan, and we really have a burden. It's one of the reasons why we moved to Poughkeepsie, is to be closer to these colleges as well, so we can really preach the gospel. The next chart
wait
is...
Wait a second.
Yes.
At a culinary institute.
Yes.
That's one of the best in the world. It
is. Yes.
You want to learn how to cook.
Yes.
And one more thing. You saw that Trailways.
That's a bus.
Not a campus. New Paltz.
New Paltz. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We begin to build a good relationship with the Japanese restaurant. They offer noodles. What happened is the bus start from 42nd Street or go to. Right before that restaurant.
So where I think you use their restaurant as a station position. So when you take a bus on 42nd Street, you stop by the restaurant and wait there, or pick you up.
I took this bus.
You did?
From Port Authority there, 90 minutes, nonstop. 90 minutes nonstop. $21. Faster than driving, $21. Very pleasant. Very pleasant. $21.
If you want to come, that's
round trip?
So no, one way, one way.
Their restaurant is that person, he graduated from Columbia. And so he's very friendly to us because we've been here quite a few times. Okay?
And right around the corner from there, if you go on a Saturday morning, there's breakfast for $1.95. Yeah. There's a lot of little restaurants, right? Right in that. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Right around the corner in that area. Please.
Travel
block. You've been around.
Milnes?
Yes.
Is there any bridges crossing Hudson?
Two.
Nearby?
Yeah. Yes, so there's a bridge that crosses near Newburgh. That's the Newburgh Beacon Bridge. And there's one in Poughkeepsie. It's on I-84. And then we also have one in Poughkeepsie called the Mid-Hudson Bridge.
That connects New Paltz and Poughkeepsie.
It connects New Paltz and Poughkeepsie.
Because it's important that they are right.
Yes. And there's also a bridge further up north as well, near Kingston as well. So there's three bridges that cross the bridge.
Yeah. So basically, you can take the bus to New Paltz on the west side of the river, or you take Metro North train to Poughkeepsie on the east side of the river.
Yes, exactly.
And then they'll bring you over to the camp.
It takes about an hour, 45, hour, 50 minutes from Grand Central Station to Poughkeepsie. Oh. And it's very convenient.
He takes the train every day.
So we just moved last week from the Manhattan to the New Windsor area. I have 2 hours commute each way. So there's 4 hours every day I spend on the train. I take a train from the Penn Station, actually. Penn Station goes to the train called Salisbury Mills, the last one. From there to New Windsor is only 2 miles away to my home. So you can also take a train from the Pennsylvania as well, all the way to the east of the Hudson.
I see. Yeah.
You see, you have both Metro North and the Indy Transit as well.
How much is the ticket?
One-way ticket is $16.25.
That's cheap. I'll throw out of gas and pools.
Yeah. Yeah. From Penn Station, yeah.
Very good.
Penn
Station. Yeah.
Actually, if you go to the next chart, it just tells you how far the main stations are to the camp, and also how far from our homes to the camp as well. So if something's going on up there and you take hospitality with us, that would be how long it would take for you to go up there. I think the next two charts were really mostly about the families, but we're not going to really talk about them. Just to let you know that there are a lot of families that need to be recovered, and I think if the brothers want to share about what we've been doing over the last year, just let more of a burden through.
So we have, my wife and I and Kimberly has been living in Newburgh since 2004, and we were not meeting anywhere with any church. And then we met the church life in 2009 and started meeting here at Jamaica Hall. Because we're from here originally, so we always made many trips back down to Queens, and it was convenient to just meet at the Jamaica Hall. And that really opened up our eyes to, and opened up the word to us concerning the Lord's move, his burden, and the purpose of our life. So whenever we did not come down to Queens, we would try to have our family meetings at home, right? And it's not easy. Because we're so used to having meetings, in big groups. But anyway, we had been doing that for a while, and eventually we heard there's a family that's interested in coming up to live in our area, and that the camp was something was coming into fruition. So I was very encouraged, and we eventually met them for the first time, and not knowing what was going to happen, how are we going to fellowship, how are we going to coordinate, how are we going to meet. But between the two of us and the three of us eventually, there was just a heart that we need to keep fellowshipping. Amen. So the brother suggested, let's pray once a week. And we just all got into praying once a week. Praying not only for ourselves, but also for the Lord's move. And keeping in touch with the fellowship portions that the church was into week by week, and we shared with each other. And in that way, we were built up. And so eventually, we found out that there are one or two other families around that we never knew about. And one time I was on vacation, and I got a call from a sister in Denver. She says her daughter lives in Newburgh. She'd like us to pray for her daughter and the family. And this is the kind of way that we're finding out, you know, one or two others around there. And I think the list is building. So we have a well-laden list to pray and to be in our spirit before the Lord. This is not about ourselves anymore. And the self has to be laid down. And shortly after we... sorry, did you want to share anything before? Okay. Okay, I have a thought blank, so if anybody has something to share.
Very good.
Amen.
Amen.
I'll add something for you. Could you go to the second page on the families? Yeah, there. Okay. We had no idea about this about 13 months ago, and when but then the whole matter of the camp came up, and then they were coming to have fellowship concerning where to live after they get married. And I think they were surprised. Sorry. Sorry. And so I think they were surprised when we encouraged them. No, don't come closer. Go north. And then they came to fellowship, and they had some feeling concerning also, because they had been having fellowship with among the families, and they had wanted to stand with them, and they had some feeling. But I think it was not in their concept about actually migrating there and starting the church life there. They wanted to stand with them, but when we encouraged them, no, don't come. They were thinking of living somewhere between, in the Westchester area, and we encouraged them. No, you should consider go more north, and because actually they had this anointing, but it was not in their concept to about migration and to start the church life. And actually, saints, this is our burden, right, that we would have the church life, right, in this area. And now, with of course, we have them and Dee and Ming as a base kind of families there. And then, in addition to this, and the brothers will say a little more, some that we'll have some families living at the camp in Kingston, and this could be a very good, strong base for the beginning of the church life. Amen. And so we are praying, and they are praying concerning when to begin the Lord's table. And we hope that the Lord's table meeting could start very soon up there. Now that these families are in place. They just moved two weeks ago. Last week. And so they have been having small group meetings. At first it was like every 3 weeks or something like this. Now it's more consistent, and we were actually encouraging them to start a prayer meeting as soon as possible. Prayer meeting, and then that we could have the Lord's Day meeting there with the Lord's table. And even we need to pray about which location, because you can see this covers quite a bit of territory. So whether it's in Newburgh, New Windsor, where they are, or up in Poughkeepsie, or in between. Of course, sometimes they could meet at the camp. But I just want to tell you about a little bit about the rest of these families. The fourth one up from the bottom on the right, David and Carmen Campos. This is Carmen de Jesus. Carmen de Jesus. She was the youngest of a big family that moved here from Puerto Rico in the 80s. And a number of these ones, you will know, you may not recognize their names, especially the sisters, because they're married, and they for whatever reason have not been meeting that regularly, but one of the spouses probably grew up in the church life somewhere, if not here, somewhere else. And they've ended up in this area. So when this started to take place, I contacted Carmen, because we know her for so long. And this was her response. This was her response. She said, "Praise the Lord! Now there's hope for my children." This was her response. She has three daughters. One of them, teenage now, high school now. And she has been longing to have the church life, but because of the distance, it hasn't been practical for her to keep up the church life. All these families have children. All these families have children. Once something is established, I think actually we will right away need a children's meeting to take care of them. All of and many of them, their concern is really for their children, not concerning their own condition and this and that. They need, now that the church is coming, is there, there's something for their children. And the second thing she said was this: tell those saints, she didn't know any of you, right? I don't think she knew. Tell those saints, if they need a home for the home meeting, our home is open. So we were there 2 weeks later. We actually had the small group meeting in her home. And so our burden is to visit one by one, family after family. Actually, they've begun to do this already. We don't have time for those testimonies, but there's very encouraging what the Lord is doing.
Amen.
Please pray for this. Have you found this theme running through all of what the Lord's been doing since December 12th?
Yeah.
Each group touched it very specifically about prayer.
Amen.
Praise the Lord for the two altars.
Amen.
I mean, the altar of consecration and then the altar of altar of burnt offering for consecration, and the altar of the golden incense altar for prayer for the Lord's move.
Amen.
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 Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord, we are continuing in the enlarging and the advancing.
Amen.
I thought that in the past we have often mentioned to the saints the increase in the church usually comes from two sources.
Right.
The increase from the church usually comes either from the growing up of the younger generations in the church, in the saints' family, or by having the new ones through the gospel preaching. Mm-hmm. And this is generally true for the increase in the church. But specifically, this is true with the younger generation. Okay, so I'm going to talk to you about the children's meeting. Okay? Now I feel that now, as we are in this transitional period, in the continuing, in the advancing and the enlarging, I think one of the services in the church life that will probably, in some way, if you think about it, is the one that will change the most. It will change the most is the children's meeting. Okay. Now, as you know, this is the transition from we brothers who have been serving here for the last 40 or so years to younger brothers and sisters. We're so happy to hear all the testimonies they're sharing this morning. But yes, it was a time for us, a reflection, but also a time for looking ahead. But as I was reflecting for the last 40 years, particularly in the burden of in relation to the children's meeting, you know, we brothers have been always, partly it's because our personal involvement, Ileana and Phoebe and Anna have been always serving in the children's meeting, and of course we always are very burdened for the young people's well-being. So yes, it has a lot to do with it, but never was we lost the sight that in the whole context of the church life. But as I was thinking about the last 40 years, I realized, actually, yes, it is true that the church, the increase in the church life is from these two sources, from the growing up of our younger generations and also from the gospel meeting. But specifically, I think one cannot deny in the last 40 years, the increase through the gospel meeting is mostly with the Chinese-speaking saints and mostly from China. And you will see the reason why I want to bring it up in this way. And I believe this transition will usher in a period, we believe, a period of increasing, a period of advancing, and a period of trailblazing, not only limited in the Chinese-speaking saints, among the Chinese-speaking saints, but in all the other languages. I think this burden, I hope you have somehow caught it from us. Our burden is not just to continuing as business as usual, but we want to see that things will go on. And it is in this regard, I feel we need to have some fellowship with the children's meeting. Now, I'm not going to tell you about some of the things we heard recently, but as you will see, I will present this in a way quite different from you imagine. Okay. Now, I want to first divide the last 40 or so years into three periods. I don't have any graphs, but it's here, so just listen to what I say. I believe from the late 1970s until now, I want to divide it into three parts, which is related to our children's meeting. You will see. It's quite interesting. Actually, a little bit of the politics, but it is important. The geopolitical situations are important to the church life in the time that we live in. From the late 1970s until late 1980s, the late 1970s is the opening up of the relationship, a resumption of the diplomatic relationship between China, United States and China, meaning the People's Republic of China in mainland China, because that opened up the recent immigration move from China to this country. Okay, in the beginning, there was a trickle, not too many. And then in the 1980s, it started to increase. But this wave of immigration sort of reached a critical point in the end of 1980s, particularly in the June 4th of 1989. Those of you from China, you all know about not only from China, but anywhere else know about Tiananmen Square. Tiananmen Square happened on June the 4th, 1989. Now, what happened is that I'm not going to talk about the political background in China, but it actually accelerated the immigration from China to this country until the end of last century. And then the third period is the millennial period, which is from 2001 until now. Now, these three periods, to me, as I look at from the point of view with regard to our children's meeting, they're very distinct. Okay, the first period from late 1970s to 1989, that period is the first group of immigrants from China to this country. Mostly, I'm not going to give names, but anyway, those of you who know some of those saints who come, you know. Those are the times mostly men came to this country to make a living, try to prepare the way for them to bring their family over. This was a period of time when people under the one-child policy in China, mostly these ones only have one child, and by the time the relationship opened up between United States and China, they are growing up. And many of them actually never had the chance to hear the gospel. This was toward the end of the Cultural Revolution and the beginning of the change. And also their family there. So many of the brothers came. Okay, now please notice, these are the ones came by themselves. They did not bring their family. They did not bring their wife, their child. And they were only coming here to try to make a living so that they can bring their family over. And a number of them believe in the Lord Jesus. Some of them heard the gospel before. But anyway, they came to the church life meeting. The increase during that period, now please notice, during that period, it's mostly just single men. Actually, these are not single men. They have family in China, but they were not able to bring them over, so they came. And so did not affect our children's meetings number. Then, after June 4th, 1989, there is a wave of younger immigrants coming to this country, and many of them actually either starting to have a family when they arrive in this country, well, they're still continuing in that, under that influence of the one-child policy. Therefore, many of them came to this country, they got married, and some believed, some brought their family to the church life, but only have one child. And many of them, because of the early immigration, so many of them have to send their child back to China for the grandparents to take care of them. Now, I say so because this is a period, as I traveled around, I have found many places have new believers, many due to these Chinese immigrants, but they found their children are very difficult to handle, because it's one-child policy, and some of them have been shipped back to China for the grandparents to generally spoil them. And then, so those children are very difficult to handle. In fact, almost everywhere that I've been to wish they will not bring their children to the children's meeting, because it only brings problem. Okay? And to some degree, we experience some of that. But I'm not going to bring it up now. Then, The third period since in the millennia, now people coming much younger, people no longer threatened by that one-child policy that has not been enforced anyway. And so now they have more normal marriage life and more normal family life. And a number of them have two children or more. In fact, if you look at our recent history, the number of new marriages and new births are actually mostly from that. So now this affects our children's meeting. Do you see that? Because many in the last 40 years, the first one-third, there are some increase, but there's no increase in any new gospel friends, new believers' family. And the second period, the children are not so many and not so welcome. In fact, some of them start coming. Now, I want to tell you, dear brothers and sisters, let me digress a little bit. Last year, toward the end of the year, the Lord brought in 100 or more young new ones coming to us, and we were so happy they are coming home. But do you realize, actually, during the first one-third period, there are many brothers who have been here, their family have been finally reunited with them in this country, and about 10 years ago, some saints have done a study. I believe now Sam Liu was here before. Now Sam Liu, right? Sam, once you made a list, there were about 30 to 40 young people. These are children in the young college age or young adult age. Their parents or their father came here first believing the Lord, and they sometimes heard the gospel, sometimes they haven't. And yet, after they came here, they haven't found the church as their home yet. They haven't come home yet. So in other words, not only that they lost the opportunity to come to the children's meeting, and even after they have come here in this country, it is very difficult for them to be integrated into the church life, even after they believed and were baptized. Okay, so therefore you can see that actually during this 40-year period, there are so many who have been brought into the church life, and still there are some even today, have not fully come home yet. Mm-hmm. Okay? That's partly is because they did not have the benefit of enjoying the children's meeting. And the second, third period, I believe some of the children are still lost, and we're still not. But now we have this new crop. And I must tell you, even from my personal limited contacts, they are wonderful. You know, the Lord has given us many new ones, and there are statistics the brothers have from different groups. Now, you see, actually, a number of them were in Manhattan, a number of them are in Brooklyn, and if you look at the numbers of the new marriages in the last few years, mostly are in these districts, in Manhattan, and even just recently I heard some marriages are now expecting their first child. It is absolutely wonderful. You know, this brings tremendous hope for us for the future. Now, not only, dear brothers and sisters, I believe this is not only for among the Chinese-speaking saints. I believe the trailblazing in all the other languages will usher in the same kind of new additions to the church life. Okay. Now, I say so is because recently we have heard that there's some decrease in the children's meeting attendance. Okay. I have heard there are some discouragement or disappointment among the serving ones. They feel that they have been, the numbers are dropping, so they were forced to combine the first and second grade and the third and fourth grade, and so they are saying, what's wrong, what can we do about it, and so on. Actually, the change in demographics, that is a change in the composition of the saints, including their children, has been related to the, as I said, related to the new addition, to the new believers. And because the last 40 years, the addition of the local English-speaking saints are not that many, but relatively speaking, mostly are the new immigrants from China. Mm-hmm. And we hope this will continue. But we hope this will be enlarged, not only to include, have the Chinese-speaking ones from China, but also from other ethnic groups, from other languages, the African-Americans, the Spanish. Certainly we hope there will be a big increase, influx of the Spanish-speaking one, and also there will be a big influx of the Korean-speaking one, and the English-speaking one of different ethnic groups in this country. I mean, you saw the three brothers. They are all, you know, we are here. We are in one sense, we are colorblind because we are in the new man. Right. Mm-hmm. But you notice all those three brothers are from India, mm-hmm. and you know this tremendous burden about India around here in Queens. You know, in Barrows, in so many. Mm-hmm. Flora Park, there's so many Indians, and we hope there will be so many in every ethnic group will be brought into the new man, right? Amen. And you know what? The first thing you have to pay attention to is that we need to make more room for the children's meeting.
Amen.
Okay? So don't worry about saying, oh, you know, last, now, the, soon, we'll be it will refill all those classes. Amen. But you know, also this way, dear brothers and sisters, you know, we talk about the enlargement, we talk about the different districts. If you look at it, the Brooklyn and Manhattan, the proportion of their children with their attendance is much more than in Queens. You know, right. In Queens, we are very aging. Relatively aging population. But let me tell you this, dear brothers and sisters, we talked about the Rose Avenue building. Actually, we have not. We have really neglected the children in Flushing altogether. Okay? So the first thing that we move into the Rose Avenue, we got to build up our children's meeting. And you already heard Ricky's testimony about Carmen said, oh, now there's hope for my daughters. Yeah. There's hope for my daughters. You know, dear brothers and sisters, we have to have such a view as the Lord is enlarging, as the Lord is doing the trailblazing among us. The children's meeting is the first is the first station. It's the first station. So now what I want to say today is I want to actually ask all those serving children's meeting to be here because we want you to have this kind of a view. Don't say, well, you know, business as usual, now with numbers decreasing. No. We must, okay, dear brothers and sisters, we must. There's so much to say, but anyway, let me try not just. There's so much that we must see that times are changing, and we must meet what the Lord sovereignly has arranged among us.
Amen.
You know, with the way new waves of the new immigrations and all the every immigrant group, they have their aspiration for their children, and the aspiration is not only have a make a better life, but make their life more meaningful, more worthwhile. And what is more important than to make it known to them the real meaning of the human life, right? And so if we preach the gospel to the new immigrant groups, we must bring this hope to the younger generations. And so that's why I spent some time talking about those past 40 years among the Chinese immigrants. And we must have the view for every immigrant group. And we hope that all the younger generation will come in with such hope. And so therefore, the children's meeting is the first station which they will meet that. They will meet that. And not to say with district and people talk about how many more meeting halls we need in every neighborhood and how many more children. And then, you know, the brother's burden about the neighborhood gospel meeting, neighborhood children's gospel meeting.
Right.
And that, you know, so many ways that we need to think. So we need to be enlarged. We need to be enlarged, particularly those who serve in the children's meeting. I hope you will be enlarged. You will see that not only, you know, I'm not saying what was prepared 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago is not adequate today. But anyway, in its application must be updated.
Amen.
Its application must meet today's need, must meet today's new immigrants' situations. And so therefore, I hope you serving ones be all enlarged. Not only your heart will be enlarged to include all the welcome those new children, not only the new children, but welcome their parents.
Yeah.
I think it is extremely important to welcome these new parents to be integrated into the, you know, in the past we always say, you know, we hope the burden, the serving ones can bring it to the children, to the parents, so the parents can help them during the week so they can, you know, they're not just memorize the verse, but also enter into the burden. And but also, I hope they will be also more, by doing so, they will be brought more into the church life. You know, yes, there are different languages, maybe their English is not so adequate, but all the children are bilingual. All the children are bilingual.
Right.
So therefore, our gospel, regardless which language it is, all the new families that are brought in, the children are all English speaking. So therefore, we want to include as many as the new parents, I mean, the children's parents into this. And now, of course, we know that there are many things that need to be coordinated and worked out. For example, you have so many children now in Manhattan, and more will be coming, and they are in Brooklyn and in Flushing, but there are not so many serving ones in those three districts. Mostly the serving ones are here. And here we have the room, we have the luxury of having each one for each class, each level for each class, but in the others we cannot. So we have to make ways, we'll have to find ways. We have to be resourceful, how to meet the need of our children. And you know, it won't be easy. So you cannot have every level for every class in every district. You can't do that because you won't have enough serving ones. So therefore, you have to find ingenious ways or resourceful ways. And one of the things which we are very happy is because that because of the camp, and probably we can't have some of the day trip or something like that to have the different district, different classes or different groups to come together. And even I believe we can help to cross some of the boundaries of different languages and so on. So therefore, I believe that the Lord wants in this new phase that you're going to face, the Lord will be enlarging you to meet all these challenges. Yes, they are challenges, but I believe they are really wonderful opportunities. Amen. The challenges are also a wonderful opportunity. So I actually want to encourage you, and I hope that all those serving ones who have served many, many years, you continue to serve faithfully, but also make room in your heart. Amen. For the new ones.
Amen.
Not only make room in the service for the new ones. Do feel they can contribute something to meet this enlarged need. Okay, so I hope that in these coming years, the lessons are, now you don't need to spend so much time to prepare the truth in the lessons. I believe over the years the saints have spent a lot of time preparing the truth. Right. But the important thing is how to apply it. How to apply it. I think this, you need a lot of fellowship, a lot of prayers, and with the parents, and then even willing to open to receive some of the ones from the newer ones. And I believe this will be a real, real opportunity for trailblazing.
Amen.
I hope in this, I believe in this area, New York is also sort of situated in a position to trailblaze, okay? And so, anyway, I think hearing what we just heard this morning, in this context, I believe the Lord is really taking us on.
Yes.
Taking us on in every front, and in every area of service, and starting with the children's meeting. And I believe this will also affect later on the young people's meeting, and so on, the rest of the church life. Yeah. So I hope this really needs the kind of a enlargement in our heart to cross the boundaries of districts, cross the boundaries of our history, and cross the boundaries of our tradition, and thinking that our way is the way. No, dear brothers and sisters. No, I'm not saying in the past that we've done wrong. No. At that time, it was okay. But for facing the future, we must have the openness to receive from the Lord.
Amen.
The enlargement. Okay?
Amen.
So I think I'll say this much. See if the brothers have anything to add, to say about.
Some time ago, several years ago, there was the feeling that we really need to focus in the colleges, and that the gospel, etc., starts from the colleges. I'm so glad that that is over. We have to realize children's meeting is the beginning of the new generation. And we realize it makes a difference for these little ones and young ones, whether they are in the church life or not. For instance, we have experienced that, well, the ones who go to the summer school of truth, of course, that's the older ones, they really can be constituted with the truth. And it makes a difference to them, not only in their living, but in their outlook. So we need to realize how important children's meeting is. I feel that sometimes we feel, well, this is a need. Yeah, we need to babysit so that the parents can be in the meeting. No, it's the beginning of the second generation. We need to realize this. It's very difficult to impress and touch and gain college young people. By that time, they're independent. And by that time, they think they know everything. So it is hard. But we need to remember again, the increase of the church starts right here from the children's meeting. Because this is, in a sense, easier. When you preach the gospel, it is really a battle. The enemy is against it. But when we teach the children, they're open and they receive. Yes, some may be naughty, some may be difficult, but in the Lord, I believe the serving ones can overcome this. So I want to encourage all the serving ones that they would realize how important their service is. It's not a babysitting job.
Right.
It's the beginning of the new generation. And then, like Brother James mentioned, we don't need to reinvent the wheel. We don't need to do the lessons over. But how to apply them. And in this matter, I would encourage all the serving ones, every time they have to serve, they should consider this particular lesson and the particular children they will teach. How do you apply the lesson? It seems to me, I heard that many times the serving ones were overly burdened about the truth. Of course, we need the truth. The truth is absolute. The truth doesn't change. But, whether the children know every little bit of the truth or whether you touch them with a lesson and they can apply the lesson in their small little ways, we need to see this. Of course, we can't say forget about the truth. Don't emphasize the truth, but emphasize the application of whatever you are impressing upon them. This is so crucial. If we are not speaking their language, if we are not trying to apply to their particular situation what is being given, what's the point? Whether you have all the absolute truth 100% or not. So we need to change our thinking. Our thinking in children's meeting has to be how to gain these little ones. Not just babysitting. Please get this into your brain. This is so crucial, so important. Children's meeting is very important because these ones can be open. If there's a way we can deal with their being obstreperous, I'm sure we can also deal with a matter of the application of the lesson so they can gain what is being given to them. So I want to encourage all of you teachers, all of you serving ones, you're not doing a small job. This is a big job in the church life.
I will just follow Brother Ed Wrighton's fellowship. And what he just bring up is very, very important. Because in the past 15 years, in the Lord's Recovery, certain places, not all of the places, but certain places have this kind of talk. We only care for the work for the college students, not the other level. This is a very, very definitely, it's not what the Brother Lee taught us. And so, because this kind of talk, then we lost a lot of young people. Not only lost the young people, also lost the parents. When the parents realized that these high college students, junior students, no one care for, then they went to denominations or they let these young ones being swallowed by the world. And so that kind of talk is absolutely not of the Lord. Of course, New York, we did not take this kind of talk. That is one of the reasons why we receive much blessing from the Lord. So we want to make this thing very, very clear. In other words, according to what Brother Lee is leading, the young people's work should start from kindergarten.
Amen.
Then junior, the elementary school, and then junior high, then high school, then college student. So we have to make this very clear. And don't think today's kindergarten is not important, especially at this time. The kindergarten is more important than all the time. In the past, kindergarten is very simple, but today it's no longer simple. And if you look at their books, you will see the pictures. Two men in the back and said, "My two fathers," or two ladies on the bed and my two mothers. All these things started kindergarten. Mm-hmm. So you can see all these things are Satan's attack.
Right. Right.
So we are fighting this universal warfare between God and between Satan. I think you all know. Even 5 years ago, those homosexual people, they still have the feeling it's very shameful. But since the last 5 years, and this become a modern thing, and don't think this is a small thing. We have to see this is the work of Satan. You can see that Satan knew his time is short. Therefore, he is actively to push his work. So this is not a simple matter. My whole point is, for those who serve in the kindergarten, don't think this is a small thing. You are in this spiritual warfare. So we have to be very, very take this seriously to have this kind of service. In other words, I want all the kindergarten serving ones, don't think you are doing a very simple work. Maybe 10 years ago or so, today is no longer that time. So all the kindergarten, we have to pray seriously, and also talk with them, with their parents. And all those, we have to, you cannot be polite. these things we have to be very clearly to help the parents and help the students. And so we have, this is the beginning for all the schools' work. And so then we, in the after kindergarten, then next section, elementary school, then junior high,
right,
then high school. Especially when we are in the high school, we have to prepare them. We have to prepare them for today's universities. That's why we always have the Simrek School of the Truth. And if we do not prepare the students in the summer of the before they went to the university, Summer School of the Truth is extremely important, because today's university, especially the famous university, is not the same as in the past. You know, in the past, we know the most, everybody knows the best university is what?
Harvard.
Harvard. Yes. Harvard is the best university. When Harvard was built, they have that in their school. Christ and the what? Christ and the church. Do you believe that? That was that Harvard. But today, when you go to Harvard, do you see that? No more. Not only no more. All of the famous universities are doing one work, is to destroy the Bible, destroy Christianity, the faith. It is not a small thing. I just tell a lot of examples. For instance, here in New York, the famous university, what? Columbia. We have many saints in Columbia. And we heard a lot from those students in Columbia. And once we heard that this sister went to the Columbia in the first, at the beginning of the first session, the professor said, "How many Christians are in this class?" About half raised their hand. Then this professor said, "I bet at the end of this class, none of you will raise your hand." You can see today's these professors take this as their what? As their what? This is what they want to do. Destroy the Christianity and so destroy our faith in the Lord. Don't take this as a small matter. And so then at the end of the term, this professor say, "Now, how many are still believe in Jesus?" That time, many raised their hand. Only two did not raise their hand. He was surprised. How come? In all the other class, nobody raised their hand anymore. But they don't know we have some school of the truth. Without the Simrek School of the Truth, then nobody will raise their hand. So we have to see that this is also important spiritual warfare here. And so not only this, sometimes when we have the all the university have the school meeting together, and they know four timers to meet with them. The students, they usually get together. And once also, this is from Colombia, and when they have meeting together, and this one brother, he was bombarded by all those garbage in the school, and she could not take it. When he came to their meeting, he just loaded everything in that meeting. And then after he said, nobody could answer, then did not know what to do, did not know what to say. But then after 10 minutes, one sister asked a question to this brother. He said, "Have you ever touched the Lord?" Amen. Oh, that is a very good question. And this shows how important Summer School of the Truth is. So important. And not only that, even all these young ones, even when they are very young, we have to help them to have the very intimate relationship with the Lord. We need to teach them how every morning they have to have the morning revival. Why? We have to contact our Lord in a very personal way, very intimate way. We have to teach them things very early. If everyone had touched the Lord every day, then when people say, "Oh, Christ is not here," then they will not listen. But if they don't have the experience with the Lord every day, they are very easily carried away by this world. So all the serving ones, we today need to know these things. And also there are many isms, right? And all these isms, we all have to throw them away. Therefore, today's serving ones is much more, what should I say? We ourselves have to learn and to have experience with the Lord, enjoy the Lord, and then we can really help today's young people.
Amen.
So I don't know how many are serving the young people here. Can you raise your hand? How many? Can you stand up? Wow. Only this letter? Only a few?
Today it's mostly for children's meeting.
Oh, today?
Not for young people.
Yeah, okay. So, today? Yeah. It's not, yeah.
How about physically?
Yeah. So I hope that all of either young ones, older ones, we all need to realize what is the situation today in today's world. And we all together have to fight this war together.
Amen.
I'd like to strengthen what Brother James mentioned earlier by way of a testimony. You know, 13 years ago tomorrow, we purchased the Manhattan Meeting Hall, January 17th, 2003. So when we went there, There were about 80 who were really meeting there consistently. Of course, we always, at the beginning, we had many saints strengthening from here, and especially the services and so on. But the constituency of the saints was basically that we had a number of a little bit older Chinese-speaking saints. We had some students. We had some students, college students, about 15 to 20, and five high school students, and then mostly young adults, young professionals. Among the 30 young adults that we had, probably I think we had two newly married couples, and the rest of the 26 singles. Okay. So you could imagine we didn't have many children. We didn't have many children. We actually had 8 children in our first children's meeting. And because of not that many serving ones, we had them kind of old schoolhouse style, all in one group. All in one group from ages 2 through 8. From 2 to 8. And we didn't start the young people's meeting. We had 5 eighth graders. But we actually shepherded them outside of the meeting. We didn't have a separate meeting for them. So anyway, within the first two years, we had quite a bit of increase there, and it was mostly through the community gospel and the campus, the gospel at Columbia University. So our increase was from some of these areas that Brother James was talking about. That is from mainland China, but also from the Spanish-speaking world. And I'm not sure that many of you know this testimony, but we have two brothers in Manhattan. They actually have my same last name. We're not related that we know of. But they are Leo and Jose Acosta. The way they came is that they were believers in a Christian group in Mexico. And their group got in touch with the radio program, the life study of the Bible in Spanish. You know, in Mexico and also in London, that has been very prevailing as far as the outreach and touching seekers. Well, this group was where Leo and Jose were. They were listening to the daily broadcast. And this was their main source of nourishment and their help in opening the word. And they contacted the brothers in Mexico City to come and visit them. Actually, during those days, we had about 5,000 such requests. 5,000 such requests. Wow. You can see we didn't have the manpower to contact them all. But in time, we've reached them. But by the time the brothers in Mexico City got to their group, where Jose and Leo was, they had already moved to New York City. When that group reached them, they told the brothers, "Oh, two from us, from our group, moved to New York. Do you have any fellowship in New York?" Of course, the brothers connected them with us. I believe they gave them Brother Ed's contact information. So that weekend, or the following weekend, they came. I believe they may have come here the first time, but they are all from the Bronx. So they ended up meeting in Manhattan. But the thing is, by the time that this call came, they had fellowship with their sister, friends, and so on. They were meeting together with 8 adults or so and about 10 children. So the whole group was added to Manhattan in one weekend. So our children's meeting just about doubled through that experience at the time. At the time. And since then, of course, it's really multiplied because those 26 single ones, almost all of them got married, and our own children from now third generation church life are coming up. But saints, today, our young people's meeting, and I want to say this to make this point, the time goes very quickly. and we need to respond to this burden. Today, the majority, the bulk of our young people are from that children's meeting.
Right.
So they are from this source, from the actually children of immigrants. Children of immigrants. But they are raised here. This generation is raised here. And they are American. They are American. We're having a gospel meeting, a young people's gospel meeting a week from tomorrow at the Manhattan Hall, a young people's gospel meeting on Lord's Day morning. This group is inviting their friends.
Amen.
Inviting their friends. They will invite both from their own ethnicity as well as those not from their ethnicity, because they just are here. They're American and they just make friends. So this burden with the children will surely affect our young people's work and eventually our campus work in no time. Because saints, the time runs very quickly. But I also want to add this. This was our feeling at that time. I see some of the saints are actually here. We tried to include them from the beginning, these new ones. That is like your sister Lily, our sister Eliani there, to join us in the service right from the beginning. We encourage them to join us. And actually, many of them tell us, oh, but my English is not so well. We don't use this as an excuse. We don't take this as an excuse. We brought them in to, at least to be helpers. And we work with them. And actually, we found out, just as what Brother James said, we found out they had a lot to contribute.
Right.
And now, actually, some of them are taking the lead in some of our teams. Because they've learned English. They've mastered the English. And they had the burden from the beginning. And some of these saints, I would tell you, are some of the most faithful ones when we have our coordination meetings. So I just want to let you know. This has been the increase in Manhattan to a great extent. You know, if you count those eight children, starting from those eight children till today, what we have in our nursery, you have to include Brooklyn as well, because that was the outgrowth. I believe the number that we right now is 138. That eight has grown to become 138.
Wow.
Now, and then from children all the way through college. So the when we talk about the burden of the gospel, we cannot overlook the matter of the children. This burden crosses all the borders, because every language group has children. And so I'm really anticipating the matter of Rose Avenue when we get that building. And I told the brothers this week, I don't want to wait till we get the building. I'm burdened to start to fellowship with the saints and to begin to prepare the service there, because we have not taken care of that situation in the best way yet. But it's time for a new beginning in all areas of the church life. So I just want to say amen to this burden. Amen. Maybe some of the children serving saints, you want to respond. You have some testimony or some echo to the burden. Amen. Where's Maria? Oh, it's Kathy, please. Amen.
When we started today, I was so encouraged to see all the brothers standing up here. I'm going to say it, Aaron, sorry. Back in Miami years ago, I was serving Aaron Yankowski, the little toddler, in the nursery in Miami. And when I saw him up here with the brothers and we had this burden, I just thought, you see how crucial, you know, the Lord is now carrying this burden on through other generations. It's just, you know, this is the way the Lord is working. And I'm just very encouraged with all the fellowship, and I feel like our years of labor in the truth are not in vain. Because when the young people go to the trainings, very often they comment, the other trainees, the other young people in conferences, they are amazed how much the children from New York City know of the Bible. But we know that's not all there is to it. And I feel like week by week, our prayer has more and more come around to, Lord, may the children be happy here. When they come here, may they know your love through us. As I was coming in, I said hello to Luke, and he looked up at me like, you said hi to me. You know, like, just to acknowledge that they're a little person. That's how you begin the connection with them. And I feel like this is our job, whether they're here or whether they're in the homes. And, you know, Allison's been serving in the children's home meeting in California, and I know that's, it's just another way to meet the needs of the children and of the new ones. If they're not bringing their children here, you go to their home. And the main thing is, you don't have to have a lesson. You just have to love this child. And somehow, through your being with them, communicate that God loves them. And that softens their heart and warms their heart and opens them to you. And then you're their open door into the church life. Amen.
Praise the Lord. The children are part of, I would say they're part of the church life, right? And I grew up in the children's meeting, and I really thank the faithful serving ones who taught the children's meeting. But in terms of, you know, when we think about what we remember, many times it's being together with the other kids. I don't remember all the lessons that I, you know, sometimes the serving ones spend a lot of time preparing, and we should prepare, because a lot of it is the benefit is for the serving ones, really. But also the children, they don't remember everything that you teach them. And although I do remember certain presentations of how it was taught, and I specifically remember one of the serving saints who had very long hair. It was a story of Nebuchadnezzar turning into a beast, right? She flipped over her hair and had these styrofoam nails, and that's what I remember. That's the number one prominent lesson that I remember. But I feel like when we present to the children, they should want to be there, right? Some kids complain about being in school. Oh, they have to be in school. And we say, by law, you have to be in school, right? Sometimes the kids don't want to go. But if it's fun, they want to be there. And we're not trying to bring in worldly things, but the children should want to be with the other children. They should be happy to see the serving ones. You give them a little, and we learn from each other. Sometimes it's good to just even switch with other serving ones on other teams, just to see how other saints teach. You can learn a lot, and I feel like this children's work is not just a Sunday, Lord's Day thing, right? But the children, most of the time, they're not in the children's meeting. So a little visit, sometimes saints come and visit my kids. That's such a shepherding to me, because I don't get out that much. But then when they come, it's a shepherding to the parents to see, and the kids love, you know, after we moved, we haven't had a regular home meeting. We have saints over, but it's not a regular home meeting, and that's the number one thing that they miss. They said, when are we having a home meeting? Like, where are the saints? And so when saints come, they feel so happy, and, you know, I just feel like we have to keep up with the Lord, too, right? The Lord he's not stagnant. He keeps moving. So even the way we do things needs to advance. It needs to improve. The school system too. It keeps changing. And if we don't have kids, we need to keep up with it. If we have any interaction with children, and all of us do, we have to keep up with what they do in schools. And as the brothers mentioned, Satan tries to get them young. We need to counteract and get them young. You know, why wait till they're older when they already have all these concepts? You know, now is the time to tell them there is a God. It doesn't make sense to say that things happen by accident. I tell that to the kids. Look at our faces. If our eyes were over here, you know, that would be an accident. But it's placed here with eyelashes, with eyelids. Everything is designed. And then you get them when they're young, then it counteracts anything else they hear, because they realize this is the truth. Other things don't make sense. It doesn't match with what I know about God. So may we just have a fresh view of how the Lord is doing things and keep up with the Lord. Amen.
Amen. My name is Dora. I think most of you know me. I've been serving with the twos and threes since I was in college. So, but I have moved to other grades here and there, but you know, my heart has always been for the preschool level. And I would say that through the years, I learned from many, many other sisters that were serving before me. And I really appreciate their labor and their care for all the little ones. But my personal, you know, I would say that in the last 5 years or so, I really have had my own personal experience with serving this level. And I realized that it wasn't so much about the kids, even though I love them and I can't wait to see them every weekend. It's like it's the highlight of my week, is to get to know the parents. And then I realized there's a harvest of people here. So many parents that grew up, actually a few of them grew up in the church and then left. And now they have kids and they want to come back. And then I said, like, what do you mean you grew up? I never saw you, you know? I was in this class, and now I have a little daughter, and I want, you know, her to know the Lord. And then I realized that, you know, the Lord is working through those that are coming back.
Amen.
And then the Lord has just opened my eyes that there's this opportunity to establish relationships with all these parents. I got to know some sisters that actually used to come and then they left. And then now they have little kids. And then I realized, you know, just having conversations with them, there's such a need for just even the basic truths, you know. I found out there was one that didn't even have a Bible. And I said, oh, Lord, this is such an opportunity. It's like every day I get to know a little bit of the mothers, and I feel so sometimes a little overwhelmed because there's so much to do. There's so many phone calls to make and so much preparation. But the Lord has, I've been praying for the Lord to just expand my heart. Amen. And also give me the desire and the time sometimes, you know, just sort of escapes from our hands. And I have especially been enjoying this fellowship with a new sister. She's a new mom. And she said, you know, she used to come here when she was a high schooler, but I don't know, maybe 15 years ago. I don't remember ever seeing her. But, and it's been so sweet every week to just speak on the phone, pray. Sometimes we talk most of the time about how's her job, how's this and that, and then we pray. And then she said to me, she asked me to cover the lesson that they're going to cover the next week because she doesn't know the background. So I said, well, we need to read the stories. We need to read the word. And then I realized she didn't have a Bible. So all these, my experience with this level is that the parents is just, there's such a need. Amen. To, you know, keep to labor. So sometimes I feel I may not be as prepared with the actual lesson for the kids, but if I can gain a relationship with the parents, I think it's still pretty good. and then it's an opportunity, because then the parents can deal with their kids, you know, can infuse more to their kids. And I, you know, once they get out of twos and threes, they go to pre-K, and in pre-K, the parents are not allowed to stay. You know, we are pretty open. Anybody can stay. We don't enforce. You come here, you drop your kids, and then you leave. You know, actually, you know, sometimes that was done in the past, but I always feel stay. If you want to stay, stay. And then we talk, and actually, we've gained many serving ones like that because they have a desire. They realize there's a need, so it's opportunity. Actually, sometimes we have a ratio of about 3 adults per child, 2 parents, 1 serving one. But still it's good because we get to know them. I think many of my closest friends came out of that service. Another thing that we started doing is that We routinely don't meet on Saturdays because many situations, whatever reason. So I encourage the sisters, come early on the Lord's Day. You know, we need to pray because really the fight is not, you know, with us. It's against what the enemy is doing. Mm-hmm. So some have joined, me in that burden to come early. For me to be here at 9:30 is to be late. You know, we need to come 9:20, 9:15, and pray.
Amen.
Because we need to pray that the kids will come happy,
Amen.
That the parents will not be frustrated, that they will come with an open heart, that they will be happy to see each other.
Amen.
We pray for each other, because sometimes we come and we are so used to what we do. Everybody has a designated role. We come and it's scattered, you know. Do what you have to do. But that's not the Lord's, that's not what the Lord is after.
Amen.
I think the Lord is after we being built up.
Amen.
And then if we are built up, then we can, be more useful to the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Just very quickly, for a long time I've had a burden for the neighborhood children's meeting. And I just want to report a little bit on, maybe you can help me. Anyway, also here we've had children's meeting, gospel meetings here in the home of Jamaica, and I believe in other districts also. So a while ago, I don't know which one, we had two little girls, Kayla and Alyssa, am I right? That came to the children's, there are actually more, but Kayla and Alyssa that came to the children's meeting, gospel meeting. And they enjoyed it very, very much. And whatever, for a certain situation, they couldn't come anymore. And this family lives very close to the Santiago's. So there was some burden. And I just was very happy to join May at a neighborhood children's meeting. I was so happy to join. I really was. She invited me. I said, amen to that.
Amen.
So we went. I went one time. I think she had started before me. Anyway, it was wonderful. She talked about baking cookies. I said, sister, we'll just do whatever you want to do. So anyway, that first meeting that we had, there was only one little girl, Emma, not Kayla. Emma came, right? Am I right? Emma, the second time? Yeah. In about 20 minutes, we just played a little song. They learned a song. We had a lesson on open, and we baked cookies the rest of the time, and it was glorious. And then, another burden was for Kayla. There's four children, right? Kayla, Alyssa, Brendan. Andrew and Brianna, four of them. And the mother is Dee, correct? They are coming tonight to the gospel meeting.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Right? So hopefully some of them. So, and hopefully we can reach that family. There's some situation there with the grandfather or something. But I just feel like, this is one way. Praise the Lord. We can all be open to gain the children, and through the children, gain the families for the increase in all the districts.
Finally, I want to give a report on the 288. Is it on? Okay. As of about 1:45 yesterday, the camp is ours. The camp is ours. Everything went through very smoothly, and the attorney for the other party is offering to continue to help us. And just give you a word of excitement. We have three brothers there already since yesterday, has been doing the basic inventory, and Monday gonna be a few sisters from New Jersey side gonna be going up to begin to do detailed inventory. I know a lot of you are excited to go, but in terms of labor there, it's not there yet. So we need to do a lot of detailed inventory and prioritize and to see where to start. But it's ours.
Amen.
You're welcome to take a day trips. We have two houses open. One is a smaller house for the saints going to stay there. And the other one is the largest house is open. You can use all the facilities there. And if you want to go, organize a little bit, they will provide a lunch for you there. So, New Jersey brothers, the leading brothers, are organizing a trip next Saturday morning. So they're probably going to, all the brothers are going to go. If here brothers want to go, just add the numbers. And so they can prepare lunch there. So you can take a tour. The lake is frozen. And no ice fishing allowed in it yet. But the scenery is so pristine. And I never took a closer look like in the past week, because we just take a broad stroke look and we say, we buy it. And I just give you a word, the attorney for the other party finished everything, all the signatures, all the papers done. And then the pastor just, we finish everything, and then the attorney asked me, Peter, how did you get such a good bargain? He said, that's a good piece of property in this area. It's worth much more than that. So that's his comment. He's a pretty aged attorney. He said, I grew up here. I served, my office has been here for years. I was surprised when I saw that number. So just to let you know, he gave me a little secret. He said, but the property is ours. 2.888000. So praise the Lord.
Amen.
Bring the children up. Okay, we're going to do first order of business. We're going to make a safety top priority. Okay? And so we're gonna make it very safe as we can afford. So our kids, our children, our young ones will be safe there. We'll have a safe environment. And also we're gonna carve out a lot of projects for different age groups. Okay, so to labor their year round. So it's their petty projects. So we can open it up. And also we found a new trail. Existed there before. Yesterday we checked it out again. It's probably at least a half a mile long, flat driveway. It was overgrown by grass because nobody used it for about 13 years. So we're going to open it up, clear it up. So that's for seniors. Okay, anybody old, feel like you don't want to climb the mountain anymore, walk in that trail. Okay? Push your strollers for the kids and your walkers with the seniors. Okay? So it's a wonderful, wonderful place. So hope we can all be there. And we have a cliff. We probably have some young ones do cliffhangers. Okay? Hey, going to be a lot of energy going to burn there. Okay? So it's ours.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Prayer is the theme of today.
Amen.
From the brothers and to the sisters, from the gospel meeting to all the languages, to the children meeting, prayer is the theme for today.
Amen.
Continue that prayer. Even after this gospel meeting, Newman, continue that prayer. Marvin, James, continue organize that prayer. And also spin that prayer. Net build up the prayer network into every service groups, into every coordinations.
Amen.
Let the prayer do the trailblazing.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I'm all right, even though my voice is a little hoarse. I'm fine, okay? Just a little stressed, a little overexcited. And, but otherwise, I'm as good as before, okay? Amen. Praise the Lord.
Praise
to those of you who are interested in trailblazing, I figured, and I think this is pretty close, the area is 230 plus acres, which if it is flat, if it is square, if it's regular shape, it's 1 kilometer by 1 kilometer. That's the size of the property, okay? Just imagine if it is square property, 235 acres, is 1 kilometer by 1 kilometer. It's 6/10 of a mile by 6/10 of a mile. Okay. So those of you who are adventuresome, you can walk through the land. About 2.5 acres. 2.5 miles.
Took the surveyor 6 hours to stake out all the borders. Okay. This is a big property. Amen. Want some prayers? Let's have some prayers, brothers and sisters. Let's have strong prayers to finish this meeting. Amen. Amen.
Lord, now we thank you for this encouraging time to your saints. Lord, we pray you will take us on in this trailblazing year.
Amen.
Care for the children.
Amen.
More importance to caring for this next generation.
Amen.
Pray for the meeting tonight.
Amen.
Bless the gospel meeting.
Amen.
Lord, take us on in this new year.
Amen.
Thank you for this camp.
Amen.
Bless all the labor there.
Amen.
Lord, build us up together this year.
Amen.
Oh, thank you for your provision.
Yeah.
Thank you for your leading.
Yeah.
Consecrate the whole year to you.
Yeah.
Oh, both the children's meeting.
Yeah.
Oh, and the gospel.
Yeah.
And all the languages.
Yeah.
We pray also for this camp.
Yeah.
Oh, we'll be fully utilized.
Yeah.
Oh, for the blending of the saints.
Yeah.
Oh, for the young one.
Yeah.
For the older one.
Yeah.
Thank you for this new beginning.
Amen.
In the year 2016.
Amen.
Thank you for what you have done in different areas in the city. Ethnic group.
Amen.
Language group.
Amen.
You continue to move on.
Amen.
Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Lord, thank you for all that you've done these days.
Amen.
To do.
in upstate New York.
Amen.
Of surrounding the camp.
Right.
The raising up of the church light.
Amen.
The spread in Jersey City.
Amen.
And all over New York City.
Right.
Yes. Amen.
Amen.
Lord, do as you will in New York City.
Amen.
In the prayers of the saints.
Yes.
Lord, revive your word.
Amen.
Lord, we will pray more.
Yes.
We pray that every saint will have somebody to pray with.
Yes.
Lord, give us the twos and threes.
Yes. Amen.
The network of prayer.
Amen.
Lord, we will pray as one man.
Right.
As a new man.
Amen.
We realize all the cities that we are praying for in the prayer further.
Amen.